9:31 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along, as I mentioned, with Jason Martin, who's done a great job for us. An emergency fill-in because Kevin, of course, unexpectedly had NCAA tournament duty. Jason, of course, of the Big Six and the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio. Kevin Ingram, good morning.
I think I'm in Jacksonville. I'm not really sure, though. I heard a bird that sounds like I'm in Florida, so I don't think we're in Dayton, at least.
Yeah, you sounded pretty excited last night, and for good reason.
Oh, it was really fun, Mark. It was one of those games where you just don't want to even try to even think that it's over until it is. Belmont led by double figures pretty much down the stretch and just made all the free throws and did what it took to get to the finish line. It was just a neat scene. Everybody's so happy for Coach Berg, finally getting that tournament win of this program. And cool scene in the locker room afterwards where Dylan Windler was the one who put the little nameplate on the bracket to show that Belmont advanced. So it was really a special night.
Kevin, I said that Fran Dunphy went Bill Belichick, because Belichick always tries to take away one thing that you do best, and that was Dylan Windler. And, he pretty much, tried to deny him the ball last night and did a good job of it, but Belmont still found a way to win.
Yeah, Mark, Dylan was kind of really limited on his shot attempts, 2 for 7 overall, 1 out of 5 from three, but he had 14 rebounds, and it just, did a lot of things to really affect the game on both ends. But yeah, Temple did a good job defensively. They had some guys that could really guard, but they just kind of opened the door for some others. And man, Kevin McClain was fantastic. He made all the, he made shots and free throws. And, the questions about whether Nick Mazinski's ankle was going to be okay, I think those were answered. They really tried to, manage his minutes to where he wasn't in there for really, really long stretches. But boy, when he was in, he was really effective. But, and just contributions from supporting guys. Adam Kunkel, a freshman, really hasn't played very much. He was really good. Nick Hopkins made a big three. Michael Benkert made some shots. He can just go up and down the line. But, man, it was back to your original question, though. They did a good job of taking away Dylan and really limiting his chances. But affected games in a lot of ways and played all 40 minutes.
One of the things that, you talked about him affecting games. There are so many guys that when they don't get there, sometimes they mentally check out. And you would know this better because you followed his entire career and covered his entire career. This is just, I think it's a testament to what a guy he is and what a competitor he is. And he really wanted to play in that uniform last night. So he was going to find a way. 14 rebounds, 13 of them on the defensive end, helping empty trip after empty trip after empty trip for Temple. I don't think that can be exaggerated in terms of just its importance to this win. He didn't put up a ton of points, but to say that he was not a large part of what went on would be a complete misrepresentation of the facts.
Oh, absolutely, Jason. Yeah, he played really good defense on the other end too, and they kind of took turns on off, and they switched around who was guarding him. Kevin McClain guarded him a whole lot of the night, but it was an interesting game because Belmont opened up an 11-point lead right away after halftime, and then Temple came roaring back, and Austin got hot, and you're thinking, oh man, this might be real trouble and be a real battle here, but Belmont got it back on the rails pretty fast after Temple went ahead and was able to get back to the lead. And Wendler just makes a lot of winning plays. That's what he's always done. He had the 14 rebounds. He had a couple assists. He had 3 steals. I thought, though, the way the game started, he came out and made a three right away. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really good sign. Usually if he makes one early or makes a couple early, that means he's going to have a big night. But they did a good job, and you just kind of got to give props to Temple on that.
ESPN, they've got the Belmont win over Maryland as the second most likely upset in the first round behind only Murray State taking down Marquette. You just talked about seeing something go in early, and we talked to you yesterday, and you mentioned the exact same thing. Maryland all season long has been plagued by really slow starts. So that has to be crucial. That has to be something Rick Byrd knows going into this matchup. They are more athletic than Belmont. They've got more raw talent than Belmont. But Belmont can beat them, especially if they come out and start playing well early, because Maryland didn't play well early against Nebraska, and they went home. And most of their futility this year has come from inconsistent starts. So I would say maybe the first 10 minutes of this game could be the most important 10 minutes of the entire 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out and you just try to get going and don't fall behind big. Yeah, that's always a big key in these games, especially if you're an underdog trying to knock off a higher seed from a power conference. You just don't want to come out and fall behind, 15-4, by the time you get to the second media timeout or something. Maryland has some big old dudes. I did a little bit of early prep on them just before we left home. I was like, man, this team's got some size. That was something that will be definitely different from the way Temple went about things. But, yeah, the early minutes of any game, you know, those first minutes when you come out of the locker room to start and when you come out of the locker room after the half are always such key parts of the games. And, you know, it was last night. It swung back and forth. But as the half went along, Belmont took control. And, gosh, they were able to stack up more fouls in the second half than in the first half and got to the foul line and knocked them down.
Kev, you think in a sense the pressure's off Belmont a little bit? You know, finally winning that game and getting the monkey off their back, and now they head to Jacksonville, you know, pretty much buoyed by, you know, the win last night and knowing that they finally broke through in the NCAA tournament.
Man, I thought about that a little, Mark. You know, maybe that is the case. You finally break through and get that win, and maybe you play them with more confidence. And, you know, I was around the team during the shoot around, and I think, you know, a big gist of the message was like, hey, you know, don't be afraid to play on this stage. You know, these games are fun. These big games with, you know, big crowds and all this stuff, you know, embrace the moment. And maybe this does give them confidence as they go in and play Thursday against Maryland. I think there's definitely a sense of relief to finally get that win and break through.
What about let's talk about that matchup, because Maryland is sort of Temple's diametric opposite. So what about defending the interior against Fernando and Jalen Smith, two really good bigs for the Terrapins?
Yeah, that'll be a challenge for sure. Belmont has a couple of good bigs of its own, but, you know, they don't necessarily play them at the same time. Nick Mazinski and Seth Adelsberger has really done a good job coming off the bench and, you know, filling in. And really now when Moose is menace might be, you know, limited a little bit, as I talked about earlier, just trying to manage those things. But, yeah, it will be definitely a different kind of challenge playing this Maryland team that has some big old dudes.
You've been around Coach Bird for a long time. What did last night mean to him?
Oh, it meant a lot. You could see the emotion, you know, just after the game and just watching him come off the court and do the TV interviews. He had a lot of his family, you know, his daughters and grandson were in the house. And, I think it, you know, it's the one thing that was missing from his resume. He's done everything. He's won 800 games, been to the tournament all these times, won, you know, tons of conference championships. But it's the one thing that he didn't have, and now finally having that win, and it really meant a lot.
All right, explain what happened in terms of travel last night from the end of that game until, you know, probably a pretty ungodly hour this morning.
It's been nuts, man. So, you know, we knew in advance what the deal was going to be. They had told us that, hey, if you win, it's going to be a 2 a.m. flight to Jacksonville. So, you know, the game got over probably, you know, a little after 11 Eastern time. So we did all the post-game stuff and kind of had a little fun there at the arena and players visited with their families and stuff. And then, it's, you know, it's time to go get on the bus. Luckily, our hotel was right across the street, basically. So everybody, when we got to the hotel, we're like, all right, you got 20 minutes. Go pack your stuff and we'll go into the airport. So everybody went up and got all their stuff together, and we went to the airport and flew out and got to Jacksonville. It's about the time we got to the hotel. It's probably about 4:30 Eastern time. I think I did a live hit on. I did a live call in on Channel 2 at like 4 o'clock. I think.
Really?
Okay.
Wow, you've really made it.
Oh man, yeah, it's been nuts, man. And then, you know, you're so wired up, it's hard to go to sleep. And by the time I dozed off in the plane, we landed, so it was time to get up again. But, you know, everybody was kind of on adrenaline after the game, just so fired up about what happened.
You doing any national radio today?
Not as of yet. I really haven't been approached by anybody. I'm available if they need me, but I guess we'll see.
Jason's got some connections here.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a national radio guy.
He is a national radio guy, man. Proud of that dude, man. That's awesome.
Does Rick Bird realize that the reason that you guys won yesterday is because you got a haircut?
Yep. Hey, as I said on Twitter, I'm not saying it was a haircut, but I'm not saying it wasn't the haircut. that was really a big decision. I felt like I was taking a big risk going to get a road haircut on a game day, but the haircut turned out better than I expected and got the win. So now everybody's like, well, you got to get a haircut every game day. It's like, man, I don't have a whole lot left.
I mean, go get the most unnecessary haircut in the world tomorrow.
Right. Hey, can you touch it up a little bit?
Well, Kev, I was happy for you. This is a great experience, I'm sure. So enjoy the ride, bud.
No, thanks. I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a good day.
Oh, by the way, did you get Reggie Miller's digits and you know, all the people that did the game last night, Harlan and
nah, let me tell you who I'm starstruck by, because I grew up in Raycom Jefferson Pilot territory. Dan Bonner's my guy, because Dan Bonner used to be an ACC announcer pretty much exclusively. Anytime I get to hear him, I lose my mind. I think I might be the only guy in the world, but I love Dan Bonner. I grew up, me and my father absolutely adored that guy.
Yeah, that's a really good crew they had on our game last night. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of them were staying in our hotel. I have a bomb field going on off the elevator, because I came down yesterday to get the breakfast. Like, man, I think that was Reggie Miller. And I saw a lot of those guys around. You know, talked to him some at the shoot around and do more of that later on today when do the same thing again here in Jacksonville. It's weird. We're going to be out there with the press conferences and stuff here in just a few hours.
Is Kevin Harlan's indoor voice the same as his radio and TV voice?
It's really all about the same. It really is.
Hey, Kev!
he wasn't there when we had our little walkthrough and, you know, press conference stuff on Monday. I thought he's probably like doing an NBA game somewhere and just flying in cold doing this game and probably do the, you know, the best job anybody could do.
Who's the crew that is actually doing the TV game?
It's going to be Ian Eagle and Jim Spanarkle.
Oh,
nice. I think.
Buds with Ian Eagle.
That man, he's a terrific play-by-play now.
He's a good guy too. So
yeah,
just tell him, yeah, you've been on my show, man. We're buds.
And you are who?
I went to school with the guy. He does the broadcast camp with Bruce Beck, who's a who's a big TV guy in New York. Like anybody cares. Anyway, enjoy your time. We're all happy for you. Happy for Belmont. This is really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Kev.
All right, man.
Maybe Dan Wolken will go to Jacksonville to cover the game.
Yeah, maybe he will. Maybe he will. But
he should.
Why not? All right, straight ahead, Bob Kraft. Mm. He's running the option in New England. What should he do? We'll talk about his legal options and more. 9:44 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
Saturday, March 30th.